Can a moment spark a movement? What lasting impact can the World Design Capital designation have on a city or region like Frankfurt Rhein-Main? You think you are special. I think that you're right. Welcome to the third episode of WDCast, the podcast of World Design Capital Frankfurt Rhein-Main 2026. What can a year as World Design Capital really change for a city, for a region? In this episode, we explore exactly that. The impact of being World Design Capital and how something long-lasting, even a movement, can emerge from this moment of global spotlight. To begin, you'll hear a brief statement from Andreas Springer, acting managing director of the World Design Organization, which awards this title every 2 years. She sets the stage with a broader perspective, highlighting the interplay between social engagement, investment, and economic return, and how these elements come together in the larger impact of a World Design Capital year. After that, we are joined in the studio by Svenja Bickert Appleby, founder of New Order Design and Program Contributor to WDC 2026, Mai Tain Guyon, Board Chair and Acting CEO of the World Design Capital San Diego Tijuana 2024, and Richard Paris, Program Director of the World Design Capital Cape Town 2014. Together, they discuss their experiences and insights on the long-term impact of holding the World Design Capital title.
Hello, everyone. I'm so pleased to be joining today's conversation on behalf of the World Design Organization to share a bit more about what we've witnessed around the broader impact of our World Design Capital program. Your listeners may already be familiar with the recently launched WDC 2026 designation in Frankfurt Rhein-Main, but what they may not know is that this year actually marks the 10th cycle of this program, which WDO has been nurturing for nearly two decades. Over that time, 11 cities and regions have been designated, and collectively, this network represents an extraordinary body of knowledge about how design can shape civic systems, economies, and culture. I share that context because World Design Capital is not just a title or a series of design events. It has truly become a value-driven framework for municipalities that are intentionally choosing to place design at the core of how they plan, govern, and innovate. What emerges from each designation is not just programming, which ultimately is truly exceptional, but what materializes is institutional learning, new methodologies, new partnerships, and new ways of working across government, industry, and civil society. There's also a clear economic impact. World Design Capital functions as both a cultural platform and an economic development strategy, strengthening tourism, attracting investment, and supporting innovation. Beyond the metrics, there's also something equally important happening in the strengthening of local creative communities. Designers, universities, cultural institutions, and industry leaders collaborate in new ways during a WDC year, often forming networks and partnerships that persist for years. And it is this idea of long-term, intersectorial engagement that really ties all of this together when it comes to the value of this program, in that we repeatedly see these impacts extending well beyond the World Design Capital year, 3, 5, 10 years down the line. It shows us that when design is treated not as decoration, but as infrastructure for decision-making, we can fundamentally improve how communities function and how people experience everyday life.
WDC 2026. In today's episode, we're going to discuss what the impact will be, what will last from the program after this enormous summer and after this enormous year. And I'd like to start with Svenja, because she's closest to what's going on and is closest to the production context and also to what's going to be seen and what people say about it and what you could hear in the political discussions.
Thank you, Georg. Yeah. What I would like to see is definitely structural change, something that has moved from kind of, let's say, separate projects or interventions to something that is institutionalized, that's a structure that will be lasting from 2026 on or continuing into 2027 and longer. And very pragmatically, I would like to see designers and creatives having a seat at the table when strategic political decisions are made. That would be my wish.
Well, it's quite a lot. I think if we continue with my... having seen WEC just recently, having perceived all that smell of change and but also the problems of, let's say, little town politics in some way. So what do you think is the impact right now in San Diego, Tijuana? And what do you think is will be the impact in, let's say, 1 or 2 years?
Sure. Hi, everybody. WDC 2024 was quite different than any other WDC in the past, in that we were not just a single city that received the designation, but a cross-border region. It was the first time that WDC designated a region, two cities, San Diego, Tijuana, and also two countries. And so for us, you know, the big legacy is that we really strengthen the ties in our binational region. We learned to work together to do something very big and very ambitious, because WDC is incredibly an international global event that is a massive endeavor. And I think that the most important legacy is really strengthening those bonds so that we can continue to work, live, and play symbiotically across these two cultures, across two regions, but really become one community. And that's the big legacy. But there are so many more. I think in doing this type of work, what we also said to our community is that we can do big things, and we can work together, and we can recruit and bring interesting international events here. So after WDC, the TED conference moved to San Diego, right? It moved from Vancouver to San Diego. And part of, you know, the rationale was, you know, we want to be a part of this really interesting design binational region. And so you see the sort of ripple effect of being successful at being a WDC and being a hub for design and innovation.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Richard, in your case, borders are very different in your case because there's water. And on the other side, there's this huge continent. But also... what did this mean in terms of questions of cooperation with institutions on a national, international, and continental level? I think that's very interesting to understand what WDC means for the cooperation with others. And what is the international perspective from your point of view?
Yes, I think, thanks for having me on the podcast. You know, our World Design Capital was 2014, so we're 12 years on. And even, you know, based in Cape Town in South Africa, there is, from a political side, a lot of competition between big cities within South Africa. You know, back then and still today, if I recall rightly, you know, we're one of the stronger economies on the African continent. But yet at home, we have in Cape Town, we have huge challenges, a huge divides between, very poor areas and very affluent areas. The politics plays a big part in the work we did here and also in World Design Capital. And it's very much just trying to position design as a sort of apolitical opportunity to bring people together, almost as a social technology, you know, a language that let's co-create and let's work together as opposed to being in competition. But one of the challenges that underpins all of that is the just sort of the maturity and understanding of the value of design. So, you know, a concept like World Design Capital can make sense to a lot of people, but on a continent where design is seen as a luxury, and now you're trying to position it as a way to co-create and collaborate and get political parties and partners working together, conceptually it's quite challenging to do. And you know, when one looks back at legacy, I think a few inroads were made and certainly a better understanding. But still, as a continent, there's one could argue there are bigger issues like housing and sanitation, gender-based violence, and design is still seen as a bit of a luxury. So it's just trying to position how design can play a role in dealing with those sort of complex challenges that we face. And also realize that we can't do it alone. We have to do it in cooperation across political parties, across countries, across borders.
But I think if you look at the specific problems that every country has, I really was very happy about Svenja doing this conference on administration. Germany and administration, Germany equals administration. So how to touch that? How to work with it? What do you say, Svenja? How does this administration critique correspond with WDC?
Thank you, Georg. Yeah, really good question. I would also say, governance and bureaucracy equals Germany. I've been working probably for 13 years on this topic to bring new approaches to government and policy making in Germany. What we felt was very pragmatic and very useful in Germany was we had a cross-innovation program running from 2026 to 2025 to 2026. It was a three-month program bringing together actors from the local governance departments and the creative sector. And we worked on their challenges. So we had five teams on really different subjects, and we brought in creatives that were motivated and interested in working on those challenges. And the feedback was really, 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 really good afterwards. So basically, public servants mentioned they now understand how to usefully bring in design and use design approaches for their concrete challenges, and that they had a perspective change also seeing, for instance, the side of citizens and how they see services or processes and how to make them better for them. And the creative said that this is a completely new area for them that they could potentially work in that they had never considered because it was never really available for them. So this was a very kind of low barrier entrance for them to figure out, okay, this is an area where my skills, my very traditional, let's say, design skills, for instance, graphic design, or wayfinding, etc., are useful. And I think WDC was really a moment that set this program off and that made it possible. It created momentum. And we actually hope we also created a little community around it already now at the start of 2026.
Mai, you just mentioned the measurability. And you always have the question in any, let's say, bigger or just like more complex design discussion about the methods, the tools, the ways, and the reliability of data that can be created out of design events like WDC. So I would like to learn a little bit how you did it and how useful it is.
Sure. So for every WDC, you know, we have to start thinking about how we're going to measure impact. And there's an impact study that is created. And we had two goals, really, in doing this impact study. One was to measure the design sector. How big is the design sector in Tijuana and in San Diego? And the second was, what is the economic impact of the WDC events? So I'll talk about both of those. The first one, what is the design sector? How do you define design? Who are designers? Do some people who work in tech don't consider themselves designers, right? So we actually looked at all these different industries and estimated how many designers work within different industries, and then combined all of that. And what we found was, in San Diego, about 118,000 workers are employed in the design sector. That's about a $24 billion economic impact in our region. And similarly, in Tijuana, although it's smaller, the scale is smaller in Tijuana, designers have a $1.4 billion impact on their local economy. You know, so that's roughly, in San Diego, about 10% of the gross regional economy. And that's significant. So, you know, what that says is that designers are central to the local economy. And we wanted to show that in numbers. And then the second thing we looked at was, okay, well, what did this program, this year-long program, we spent, you know, 2-3 years planning it, and then 1 year implementing it, over 600 events across our binational region, what impact did that have? We spent about $11 million on the program. What is that impact? And what we found was, for every dollar invested, there was a 9.2 time return on that investment, right? So $9.2 for every $1. We spent a lot of time thinking about our marketing, communications, advertising, and PR. And we measured that by media impressions, 1.17 billion media impressions. We had a lot of eyes and media on our region in that year. We created over 1,800 jobs, and the economic impact to our region was $104 million from that $11 million investment. So, and over 1 million attendees. You know, these numbers actually are quite impressive and shows that this program can have tremendous economic impact.
Well, thank you very much, because as important to understand how this this research is done is what came out. But the cultural topic, I would like to get back to Richard, because you mentioned, you were the only one who really mentioned this question of, there are people out there with whom we can't really work, and with whom it's complicated to work. So how do you work with, let's say, these people? How do you work with others who don't even know what's going on? What does this mean?
So one of the key strategic programs we ran as part of World Design Capital in 2014 is, the mayor wanted to take World Design Capital to as many citizens as possible. So not just design community and professional bodies, but actually, how do we touch citizens? And you know, Cape Town back then was about 3.5 million citizens. Obviously, we're not going to be able to go out to every single one in every single area within the city. So what we decided to do, and the city does have an approach to public participation when it is busy building new roads or new infrastructure. And so we decided to go launch a program in every region or ward, what they call a ward of the city. So City of Cape Town had 111 wards, where we would hold co-creation workshops with a group of citizens. Could be anything from 50 to 200. We'd put a notice out, invite citizens to come and pitch challenges and issues that they have. But what was very critical about those environments was creating a safe space that citizens could come and feel safe and voice their concerns. But in that space as well, have city administration officials, because they ultimately are the ones that can implement. They're the ones with the budgets. And this was a wonderful way to, first of all, show the city administration how to truly do public participation and use design as a platform to do that. And it was actually a very successful program in the end. It showed the city how they could engage with citizens in a very meaningful and productive way. And it provided a platform for citizens to actually air their views and frustrations, but also be part of the solutions of those, which gave the sort of shared ownership, which is very important, so that when the city comes in and they are perhaps upgrading a park or a green belt area, that the citizens don't push back on that. They actually are excited about it because they were part of the creation or the ideas that the city is busy implementing. So I think that for us was a critical thing, and very much driven by the mayor of how do we connect this, not only the city administration, but also the communities, and then how do we use design as the platform to do that with?
We've still got some questions to answer. So I would like to begin with Svenja, because from your position inside the program, where do you see the biggest opportunity for a lasting change?
Thank you. I really hope that the things we showcase in the World Design Capital Year move from projects into a structural change in processes and services and interactions and routines. And what was mentioned before, I think, would be also a really change of understanding design, which I think is even more maybe difficult in Germany, as a German way of understanding design is quite different to the international or kind of English perspective on design and the complex ways to work with design and what design can achieve. So I think an opportunity would be to, move from projects into structures and structural changes and changes of understanding. And as mentioned before, mobilizing stakeholders around this topic and then creating really lasting partnerships and collaborations, what we've seen already happening.
This is, in your case, it's a vision because the program is just running. You know, just like asking Mai and Richard the same question, what are your thoughts based on your experiences? Because when you think about, let's say, having had these visions some years ago, so what are your thoughts based on the experience? Who wants to start?
Sure. Our theme of our World Design Capital was around humanity-centered design. And so we used the year to actually use design to address society's very challenging problems like homelessness, like poverty, like inequality. And so that was at the core of what we did. So, you know, to get back to what Richard was saying is, you know, or your question to Richard, which is, you know, there are people who are suffering, you know, why would they care about design? Well, we actually use design tools to actually address the things that they really care about. And those, that type of work, those projects that we seeded in 2024 have continued. The groups that have come together are still working on those projects, and they're getting grants, they're getting additional funding. And so WDC 2024 was just the beginning of these types of collaborations. And as Svenja said, you know, we wanted to create structural change too. You know, humanity-centered design is about thinking about systems, thinking about getting at the root causes of the problem, thinking about solutions that are good for people and the planet. And we educated so many people about that process and about humanity-centered design that they're taking those tools now and they're actually implementing it in their work. So we're seeing this in government, we're seeing this in the private sector, we're seeing this in the nonprofit sector. And so that's, you know, part of the change. The other lasting change is just a lot of people, a change in perception that we truly are one large cosmopolitan region of 7 million, not a divided border, right? And having that perspective change, you see it in small ways. Like, for example, the San Diego airport had never commissioned Mexican artists to create art for their airport. And during WDC, they did that. They were motivated to do that for the first time. And they said, you know, we don't know why we've never done that before, right? And so, you know, just kind of getting people to think about us as a mega region as opposed to two cities or, you know, San Diego as a small town, it's a perception change. And I think that that is also changing our ability to do big things and to be more ambitious about what we want to do from the civic standpoint. And then I think just the relationships that are lasting, right? I know who to call in Tijuana now when I have a question about infrastructure or housing or the arts. All of these relationships that we built are what is going to make our communities better. One of our biggest social issues is pollution in the Tijuana River. Because we are a bordering community, the sewage in Tijuana actually flows into San Diego. And before WDC, there were a lot of different groups working on it, nonprofits, government, but they weren't working together. And so as a part of WDC, we actually encouraged them to work together, 50 different organizations across the two countries. They came together and they started tracking pollution. They started working in addressing the pollution crisis. And now they are applying for funding and have received funding. They actually also are working with big consulting firms that have come in to give in-kind support. And they're actually tackling this issue that has been an intractable issue. It is so bad that they have to close down the beaches because pollution in the water, people cannot swim there. The air pollution is so bad that people are having health consequences. And so, you know, this platform allowed them to get to know that actually there are 50 organizations working on this. Why don't we work together? And that work continues today.
Okay, so this is the same question to Richard. What are your thoughts based on your experiences?
Yes, 12 years later. So I think similar story in some ways. And before World Design Capital, I think there was a very poor understanding of the value of design. I think a lot of folk felt it was about the aesthetics and the styling. And also we had within Cape Town quite a fragmented design community. And I think what World Design Capital did on a number of levels is brought that community together. You know, one of the things we measured was sort of the social impact that and economic impact, but very much the building an ecosystem so that we can work together better as a design community, but also landing the importance that of the and the value of design, and both in public and private sector. And I think specifically in the public sector space, both the city of Cape Town and the local government adopted design-led thinking as a key driver of innovation and started to build capacity within that. And within the education space, one of the legacy projects, which was never thought of before World Design Capital, was the development of the Hasso Plattner School of Design Thinking, which is based at the University of Cape Town. And direct foreign investment that came in from the foundation to build the school, to train students at the university, to train public and private sector individuals, and really elevate design into a space where one can clearly see its value as a driver for economic change, social change, but also training people to go out there and practice it. So it's been this is 12 years later, you know, one would never have been able to have foreseen this during World Design Capital. And I think that in some ways, one also has to have a bit of patience around the impact that an event like this can have. There's definitely the short-term indicators you have to do from a political point of view in the economic impact. You know, for every dollar invested by the city administration, what was the return on investment? That's very important. But I really believe that the real value from a World Design designation comes 5-10 years later, when these connections are made, start to mature, and start to reach, I guess, areas where there's spheres of influence, whether it's in politics, whether it's in leadership, that really start to make a difference. And we've certainly seen that in Cape Town now, in the role that design is playing as a key driver for social change.
Wonderful. This is exactly the question that I wanted to ask you now, because what do you think, what if you look back in 5 years, 5-10 years, and look at the, let's say, the overall impact of WDCs over the world, what do you think has been changed by those festivals, by those activities, by those workshops in general, to all together? Not looking at the single event, but at the global impact. Svenja, what would you say?
Yeah, that's quite a challenging question to look at it on a global scale. Okay, I would say, I mean, what's happening right now here in the podcast, right, is for me already quite interesting, quite a change that I'm learning from other cities and other areas and the ways they implemented World Design Capital and run it and how they learn from it. So I see actually a connection between different cities and regions globally and learning from each other. And I think this is a huge impact. And this is, yeah, this is amazing and probably just the start of a conversation, I would say.
Wow. Richard, what would you say?
Yeah, so having the luxury of hindsight, I guess, and evidence, I think what I've noticed is, you know, World Design Capital is a unique program that gets run through a city administration. You know, it's not an innovation summit, it's not a design summit that sits outside, and it comes with its own challenges with the politics of a city government, but what it does do is, and this is one of the common themes I've seen, is that it gets government and public officials thinking about design and bringing it into their practice. And that, for me, is where a lot of the legacy really sits, is that without World Design Capital, these administrations would just carry on business as usual. But that 1 year or those 2-3 years of planning and involving them in the process and involving them in projects makes them realize that design can play a role in public administration and building better cities. And that's really where, at least for Cape Town, I would say one of the biggest impacts has been. It comes at a price, obviously the politics around it during the build-up in the year, but I don't know any other event which works so closely with government, specifically around design.
Yeah, so our World Design Capital was slightly different in terms of where World Design Capital sat. It actually was a partnership between 5 different organizations. So it wasn't just the city. So it was the City of San Diego and City of Tijuana, but also the UC San Diego Design Lab, which is at a university, and also 2 community-based organizations, the Burnham Center for Community Advancement and the Design Forward Alliance. And so it was very much community-driven in terms of its conception and planning. And so I think that the legacy is also going to be that this was conceived of and also created by the community, and that will continue. I think in terms of the impact of World Design Capital globally, I think we are creating a global community. Annually, when I go to Frankfurt in November, there are going to be this network of cities that have been World Design Capital cities that come together to talk about not just World Design Capital, but what's been happening in their cities in terms of design. And we get to learn from one another. We get to lean on one another for support. And so you start to see this global community come together around design.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's great having you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Bye.
You've been listening to Andrea Springer, Svenja Bickert-Appleby, Meintein Geyen, and Richard Paris in conversation with Georg Christoph Bertsch. Thank you to all our guests for sharing your insights. We already started well into the year and still have a couple of months to go. But one thing is clear. The region will see the unique impacts this title has. Thank you for listening. As always, we wish our listeners all the best and a creative week ahead.